Yeah. That's right. We're just back porch sitting, doing some old school picking. Got some brand new strings on my Gibson. Yeah, I play your favorite song. The cooler's down to the last drop, but it won't last that way long, 'cause Tommy's making a beer run. So baby, come on. We in good company. Yeah, the only thing missing is a pretty girl sitting here next to me, kissing up on me, and I got a spot waiting on you. So BYOB, it means bring yourself over, babe. Got what we need to make good vibes, good times, and a damn good memory. We in good company.
Hi, welcome to this Labor Day weekend edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Great to have you here with us again. Get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy and get a hold of Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at Golf News Net. Download our Roku app. We've got an Amazon Fire TV app coming soon, working on it as we speak. And you can also check out all of our work at golfnewsnet.com. We are presented by BetDSI.com. They have been in business for more than 20 years paying winners. They're an A-plus rated sports book, where you can use their easy-to-use mobile interface and your sports knowledge to make some cash. You can bet on everything from golf with the majors, the props, matchups, you name it, and all kinds of things. Pretty much everything in between. You can use the promo code GOLFNEWS25. That's GOLFNEWS25. Get a $25 free wager just for registering. And if you deposit, you get a 200% bonus match on your money. Pretty awesome. Again, GolfNews25 at BetDSI.com for a free $25 wager. Okay, so we haven't been with you in a couple of weeks, and in part that's because we've been traveling. And this is not something I typically get to do, travel for golf, travel to golf resorts. And I've been really fortunate this summer, and really in the month of August, above all else, to be able to go to two places in the Midwest that had kind of been on my radar, one very recently, one for a number of years, and just haven't been able to make it work. And the first, the week of the PGA Championship, actually before the PGA Championship, was Michigan. And I've been talking with my buddy Kevin Frisch, who is the man of all things Michigan golf. And we've been talking for a few years, and we get together at the PGA Merchandise Show, and we do other things together in terms of content and story ideas. I've been saying, you know, you got to come up to Michigan. Love to have you up. And keep saying, oh, I can't do it. I got young kids. I'm trying to be a dad to them and not, you know, hey, honey, I'm going away for 4 days to go play golf. And this year kind of made the decision that I wanted to go do a couple of these types of things where I would go away and play golf instead of go away and watch golf at a tournament, and chose against, for a variety of reasons, doing the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship this year. And those were not correlated decisions, just kind of worked out that way. And so Kevin was gracious enough to put together a trip where me, him, and a couple of buddies of ours, Josh Jacobs, who owns TGA Premier, both golf and tennis businesses that are franchise-based. You go into schools and create camps and programs for kids so they can learn golf and tennis. And Paul Maskill, who is one of his right-hand men. And we went into Traverse City and had ourselves one hell of a weekend. We went and spent time at Kingsley Club, which is a top 20 modern course in the United States. Mike DeVries did an incredible job creating Kingsley Club. So we played there the day we got there. And then the next day, got up and played Crystal Downs, which was incredible. And then went outside of the Traverse City area and went a little bit further away into the middle of that part of the state to Forest Dunes, the Forest Dunes Resort. So we kind of went off the grid a little bit, didn't have really cell phone service, which is kind of a nice touch, got to be honest, a nice change, even though didn't expect that going into it. And we played the Forest Dunes course, which is a Tom Weisskopf design from earlier in the previous decade. And then the Loop, which is a Tom Doak design, which is, we'll talk about it here, but it's a reversible golf course. And that opened last year for some play, and now is really open this year for the first full season. And then last week, just came back from Sand Valley Resort in Wisconsin, which is basically in the dead middle of Wisconsin. And you would think with kind of Mike Kaiser's fingerprints all over it, obviously, hey, maybe this would be like abandoned right by the water. Well, that's not the case. This is part of Lake Country in Wisconsin where a lot of Wisconsinites go to vacation. They spend their weekends on the lake either boating, fishing, some cases hunting, doing all that kind of fun stuff that you might do on smaller lakes, but a bunch of them abound, and kind of drive in, and all of a sudden, you're at Sand Valley. Like, there was basically no indication you were anywhere near Sand Valley until you make the final left turn before you turn into the resort. And it goes, hey, Sand Valley's over that way. You're like, oh, great. So, an incredible experience over the last couple of weeks. And I wanted to start with Michigan. Obviously, that's first in the timeline. Kingsley Club was just amazing. You know, I'm a member of a private club. We talk about it as a facility that I can use for shooting videos and doing club testing and things like that. And I love my club. It's a working class club. It's filled with guys who are a lot of fun, who love to play golf, love to drink beer, love to eat good food, and love to hang out with each other and compete sometimes. And Kingsley Club is a little bit different. It's a club with a membership that is a little bit more upscale in nature. The membership fee is a little bit higher than ours is at Argyle Country Club. The dues are actually pretty comparable, which is remarkable. But when the club was founded, the idea was to create this incredible golf destination where people could come to and not necessarily play on a daily basis, but when they played, they had a special experience. And I have to tell you, I had that. I mean, I landed in the afternoon, well, just before noon, and Josh and Paul got in later afternoon, and we went right over to Kingsley Club from the Traverse City Airport, which is a nice, quaint airport you drop into, and really, probably 8 months of the year, there's hardly anyone going through it, and then for 4 months of the year, everyone's going through it by comparison. So we go over to Kingsley Club. We're staying there for the night. They have several cottages on site. They are amazing places to stay, and they're just set up perfectly with a common room with a fireplace and a TV and a couch, kitchen, nice dining room table, and then kind of spoken wheel bathrooms and bedrooms off of them. It's a great place to be able to stay. But we kind of got started in the late afternoon and played 18 holes. And if you've never been to a kind of design like you see with this course with Kingsley, or like you see at the Loop or at Sand Valley, which is very modern golf design, huge, wide corridors, lots of sand, a lot of natural areas, which is basically weeds and shrubbery that you don't want any part of. And the idea with the golf is we want it to be firm, we want it to be fast, we want it to roll naturally with the terrain, we want it to interact with nature, kind of feel like a part of nature, while simultaneously having wide playing corridors that kind of funnel down to make it more difficult over the course of the hole. So the tee shot's a little wide open, and then maybe a little demanding in spots, but then it gets thinner and thinner. So ultimately, you don't have a 100-yard wide fairway when you approach from 100 yards, but that you have an opportunity to score, just it demands a good shot. And we kicked the round off late afternoon, and there was no one in front of us. I mean, it was a perfect evening, and just a really well-designed golf course, a variety of holes, variety of terrain types. The ninth hole was probably one of the coolest holes I've ever played anywhere at any time, and it's a par three with a really small green, kind of a kidney bean shaped green, maybe even like a letter P shaped green in terms of kind of the shape. Heavy sideboards to the left that kind of feed over to the right. Not much of a landing area if you try to get aggressive on the thinnest part of the green. But the coolest part about it was that I think there were probably six or seven different tee boxes, and they all came at it from different angles. So you could have a 150-yard or 170-yard shot directly into the thin part. You could hit a 130-yard shot over with a cut into a location on the right. Bunkering was difficult. I mean, it was such a fun hole. It was a hole you could literally play a par three course on this one hole and play it 9 different ways. It was super cool. And then 18 is a unique experience in golf, and there are other places like this, but they have a lot of kind of rock walls in the back 9 and spots, inspired in part probably by Ireland and Scotland, and they have one behind 18T. And if you look carefully enough, you'll see a little bit of a kind of mailbox type thing where you can pull out a bottle of Jameson that's left there for the members. And everyone's supposed to swig it. And if you are the member in the group that finishes it off, then you buy the next bottle and you put it in there so people can keep doing it. Really cool tradition. It came right off of a par 5 where you could hit a speed slot and hit a 350-yard drive and reach the par 5 pretty easily. Playing into darkness, it was just an incredible setting, a fantastic place. Crystal Downs was mind-blowing. And honestly, I had heard of Crystal Downs, knew somewhat of Crystal Downs, but had done not enough research on Crystal Downs leading into playing at the club. You know, as you might know, it's a Mackenzie Maxwell design, kind of something he came back upon a trip from the West Coast, landed there, and had, within a few hours of kind of just sitting on the hill that leads to the bowl from the first tee down into the front 9. He designed the front 9. And he came up with some of the best short par 4s on the planet. After the third hole, you get 4, 5, 6, and 7. They're incredible short par 4s. Now, the fourth hole is 400 yards, so maybe it's not that short, but if you go up a box, it's, you know, 370. So short enough. It's 6,500 yards max. And you hit this big cut either around the dog leg or you draw it over a bunker at the corner of the dog leg. You play into this incredible green. I mean, the greens are super fast. They're fair, but they're very fast. You got to really think around them. You do not want to be above the hole for your life. Then the tee shot on the next hole, the dog leg left that you could take on the fairway bunker, again, at the corner of the dog leg, and if you nuked one, you could get on the green, even from the back tee, or you can leave yourself a relatively easy-looking pitch from 70 yards, but it is very deceptive because if you go long of the hole location, particularly if it's on the front of the green, you're dead. I mean, you're dead. You're like four-putting. It was a fantastic short hole. And then number 6, similar in terms of having another dog leg. This one dog leg's right, and you're trying to hit it over or around a tree, kind of the corner of the dog leg, which there's also bunkering there, but that's kind of your aiming point to another great green with a kind of semi-two tiers going right to left. Oh, just beautiful. And then probably my favorite hole in the golf course, number 7, is about 330, 340 yards. And you kind of hit downhill toward this just protected area at the end of the fairway. So you don't want to lose the fairway. Otherwise, you kind of are blocked out of hitting to the green, which weaves around this hill. Again, almost reverse kidney bean shape. And on the back of the green, where the pin isn't usually, they have a valley that kind of funnels down on both sides. Oh, it's so cool. We're going to do a write-up of it. So check that out. OneGolfNewsNet.com, and we'll tell you more about our Michigan adventures. And then Sand Valley, just in general, as a resort, was dynamite. The Kemper Lesnick folks who manage the resort and a number of others around the country that you've probably either wanted to go to or have been to, it's just the service was excellent. The facilities are obviously so new. They really opened for play last year, that preview play. Now this is their first full season with the Cor Crenshaw Sand Valley course, which was just beautiful. Some of the best par fives I've ever played anywhere, at any place, at that golf course. And then we had an opportunity to play the 9 holes that are available on the new Mammoth Dunes course that the David McClay Kid offering that's going to open, I think, probably next summer if everything works out. They've got it mostly grass, but they wanted to let it grow in a little bit more. But they had 9 holes available. Even wider corridors to play. So much, not visual deception, but so much decision-making based on your visuals in terms of how aggressive you want to be. And it fit every kind of player. The greens were already in great shape. The grass was growing in brilliantly on other holes. I think it may have the potential to actually be a better golf course than what Coore Crenshaw is offering. They've got a par three course coming in that looked awesome. We didn't get to touch it. That preview play actually opened a couple days after we left. We've got a full driving range. And then maybe if it all kind of works out with these offerings, maybe have a third course. We tried to get as much info as we could about that. Sounds like they're still waffling on that. We'll see how these two courses and the par three course are received and then go from there. So, again, we'll do a write-up on that, a little bit more in-depth than we could talk about here in 15 minutes. But I just wanted to let you know that I have been leaving you and not doing this podcast for doing some really awesome things, and they're things that you should be able to do too. I hope you get a chance to go check out Sand Valley. I think for folks, especially who live in the Midwest or east of the Mississippi, it's a place you could go to and get a lot of the facets of abandoned dunes without necessarily having the weather constraints where, you're on the ocean and maybe the weather gets worse, and you can get there quicker. You can fly into the Milwaukee airport. You're a two and a half hour drive away, which wasn't bad. Or you can fly to the Madison airport and you're like an hour and a half away, which is also still pretty good. And if you're in Chicago, you can drive. That's not bad either. So, it's a 4-hour drive. So it's something that's accessible for a lot of people. And then Michigan is more public golf per capita than any state in the country. And based on my experience playing 4 courses, 1 course twice in a different direction, the loop was amazing. We're going to do a great story on that. It was awesome. I mean, it just was awesome. I will be back to Traverse City. I will be back to Michigan to play more golf. And I'm a convert to Midwest golf. I want to get in on Iowa. I want to get in on Indiana. I want to go play places there. I want to go into Nebraska and Kansas. Some incredible golf is there, albeit not as high quantities as those other two states, but certainly there. It's going to be awesome. Prairie Club, Sand Hills. Those are places I want to go see and play. So anyway, I've just been thinking about golf course architecture a lot lately, and because of my golf experiences, and I just had to tell somebody a little bit about it. So I got so excited talking about that stuff that I didn't even tell you who the guest is on this show. So if you read the description ahead of time, you know. But it's Major Ed Polito, and we wanted to have Major Ed on to talk about Patriot Golf Day, which is coming up over Labor Day weekend. And Patriot Golf Day is designed to help augment the fundraising efforts of the Folds of Honor Foundation. Folds of Honor offers scholarships to the children of military servicemen and women either injured or killed in action while serving our country. And Patriot Golf Day is one of their larger fundraisers. They've organized events at hundreds of courses, if not thousands of courses around the country in some fashion or another. Maybe it's a particular outing. Maybe it's just a donation box. Maybe it's just giving a dollar from added on to your green fee to the Folds of Honor Foundation, whatever that is. They use Patriot Golf Day to raise awareness about their cause and raise money. And they do a tremendous job with it. So we wanted to have Major Ed want to talk about that, his involvement with it, how it has evolved over time, and how folks can get involved. So here's Major Ed.
Major Ed, thanks for being on with us. We appreciate it. And for the folks who are coming into this net new about Patriot Golf Day, can you let them know first a little bit about Folds of Honor Foundation and then how Patriot Golf Day fits in with Folds of Honor?
Well, what a great day to be an American. Thank you for having me on the show. Congratulations on all your hard work. And Folds of Honor Foundation, of course, was started by Major Dan Rooney, the F-16 fighter pilot. And the premise was that we would create something very powerful, and that's Patriot Golf Day, golf courses across the country signing up to make a difference and to make an impact and to raise money for deserving military families who have sacrificed a great deal. We provide the spouses and children of the fallen and wounded these educational scholarships and opportunities, and it gives them an opportunity to go ahead and follow their educational dreams. So it's a really great combination where the game of golf and golfers can go out and play over Labor Day weekend. And more importantly, we can take care of these families and, of course, those veterans that have sacrificed not only their time, but have taken that solemn oath to defend this great nation.
The team's just kind of eyeballing from the participating course list that there's somewhere in the area of perhaps 700 golf courses that participate in some fashion in Patriot Golf Day over Labor Day weekend. Where has that, how have you gotten to that size of participation? Was it always that large? And how has kind of word spread about Patriot Golf Day?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because we will have close to 5,000 participating golf courses that do something over Labor Day weekend, whether they promote Patriot Golf Day, they promote the red, white, and blue, as we call it. They do themed events. And it's interesting. So for us, the great thing about engaging these folks is for them to give a dollar or more in their green fee to do a specific themed event, as I indicated, where they can have golfers come out and participate, and do something kind of powerful. We have marathons going on across the country. And then finally, we have, you know, just individuals that will make direct donations to the Folds of Honor Foundation by going to foldsofhonor.org and basically saying, hey, you know what, I want to make a difference. I want to support one of these families, and here's what I can do and become a wingman. And so it's just a very powerful force that we have, and certainly the corporate community can get involved as well. So anyone out there listening that's a corporate entity, they can contact Folds of Honor. Contact me directly, Major Ed Polito, and we'll respond and get a connection made and connect them. And then we've got finally just this big, big initiative across the country where corporate companies are doing golf events for us as part of Patriot Golf Day. And Patriot Golf Day all year round, but over Labor Day weekend, we really are specific about what we do with all the participating golf courses.
Now, you mentioned some folks might be doing kind of what amounts to a marathon of golf. I've read something, I think it's down in Myrtle Beach, that some folks were going to do 100 holes in a day to raise money for Folds of Honor. How kind of widespread are the different types of events? So you kind of mentioned red, white, and blue. That's something that our club will do over Labor Day weekend, have a red, white, and blue event. Some people will do kind of a scramble. What's kind of the most popular type of event for folks to engage with Folds of Honor over Labor Day weekend?
Well, I will have to say that, you know, what really comes to mind is the events like yours where we have actually 350-plus events where people will collect money. We'll have a big shotgun start. You know, my good friends down in Naples do a great job, Fort Myers. I mean, Myrtle Beach area is prime for this. And then, of course, we've got all of our other, you know, northeastern states that do all kinds of events, and all of them sort of raise money in different in ways. Like you mentioned, the marathon has been a real popular activity for us where, you know, golfers will go out and participate. I'm actually attending a golf marathon with my good friend Billy Sampson down in Savannah, the Savannah area, Savannah, Georgia, down in that South Carolina corridor, and I'm going in for one day. And then I've got another event, you know, and we've got events in Colorado and in California where they'll do, you know, a raffle. They'll do some silent auctions in the golf course or in the golf shop. And then, you know, one of the things that's also become very, very popular is that individuals will match, or members will match each other where they contribute as part of the membership and as part of their dues. They'll give $20 to $100, and then all of a sudden that adds up when you've got 300 people that contribute. So as you can see, the map grows and our events grow, but more importantly, what I think is the most powerful thing is engaging folks like you, engaging the community, engaging these golf courses, and connecting them to our military. And to me, you know what, Veterans Day, Memorial Day is every day. And we must honor that sacrifice. And as we always say at the foundation, educate the legacy.
What have you found about golf that makes it such an easy connection for folks to Folds of Honor? You know, obviously, we're a relatively charitable sport, especially compared to other participatory sports. We're the most charitable. But what do you think it is about the sport that makes folks connect with Folds of Honor so immediately?
Well, you know, that's a great, great question. And the only way I can answer that is just on a personal viewpoint. And then what I've seen from people that have told me something, you know, when you have our veterans that are members at the golf clubs that they belong to, and they want to participate by paying it forward. And that's the word I use a lot, paying it forward. Just like me, on August 17th, 04, I hit a roadside bomb in Iraq, and this subsequently led to the amputation of my left leg. You know, and I looked at this young man's eyes who saved my life, and I said, you know what, can I do to pay it forward for to him for saving mine? And then you have the Vietnam Veterans of America who came in and gave me well wishes when I was in the hospital room right after the amputation, said, you know what, the mistakes made on us won't be made on you. To me, that is the participatory spirit of our country, where the game of golf, the PGA of America, the United States Golf Association, and many, many others are coming together to make a difference. And that, to me, is the power of Patriot Golf Day, where you have all these entities and then folks like you from the media saying, you know what, we want to do our part. And then it just becomes a team effort. And I think that's what I gained from it. And then for me, personal growth and playing the game and then hitting that golf ball and just being a difference maker for these families truly, truly is a beacon of light. And my message has been carried out across the country that we can all do our part, pay it forward, and make an impact in the lives of those that have served.
Over time, you know, the Folds of Honor was founded in 07. So you're 10 years into this mission at this point of providing these scholarship opportunities. And the exposure of the American public to the reality of war is a little bit different 10 years in than it was in 2007. How has that message response changed, if at all, over those 10 years, considering that your American family are involved in the day-to-day of that sacrifice now?
Yeah, you know, I have to answer it this way. That is a great question. It's a question that I actually personally get asked a lot. And the reason is that everyone talks about, well, we're not engaged in these high-level wars. Where are the casualties? And what I tell people is that the casualties are in the future. And what that means is that these individuals that are currently serving are going to come out with ailments and disabilities and issues. And when that happens, they go into the Veterans Administration system, and then they gain a disability rating. Well, for us, it's 50% and above. But you know what? When you're carrying a rucksack, and you're messing up your knees and legs, and certainly your back, and you just have normal wear and tear, to us, that's where the need's going to be greater. And we've got 1.7 million dependents that are coming down the pike from these individuals that will gain these disabilities. So war is a long-term effect. And one of the things I've learned from it is that now we've got a lot of these young people that are getting out, getting these disabilities, and then now their dependents are, of course, they were little kids at a time, and now they've grown up, and guess what? They're going to be eligible for our scholarships. And so that's the way we look at the need, that it's a long-term future need. And then you've got people that every day get hurt in the line of duty. Some get killed in the line of duty, doing things that just like everybody else does, you know. And, you know, we're a foundation that's going to take care of those sacrifices and make sure that we educate that legacy. So to me, the need is great. And with 87% of these individuals not qualifying for educational scholarships, I think we can do our part. And I know that's a little minutia, but it's great education. We give $5,000 in scholarship money to these military families, and they can apply 4 years towards a bachelor's degree or, you know, local, technical school, or it may be beauty school. You know, at the end of the day, what we want to do is help these spouses and these children and these dependents get an educational start that's positive but improve their quality of life.
As the cost of education rises, is that something that people who are donating to Folds of Honor maybe consider in how they work with Folds of Honor? Because, I mean, if you get a tuition bill, my kids are young, but I know that come 15 or almost 18 years from now, when my kids potentially go to school, my eyes are going to pop out of my head because of the cost of education. Is that something that comes up with folks who are engaged with Folds of Honor?
Oh, yes, sir. It comes up every day, and I will tell you that the reason that it comes up is that we're living and breathing that. I take me, for example, again, on a personal note, I have my two little girls are the second and third scholarship recipients at the foundation. Thank you to everybody for what they've done to support them. And I have a 16-year-old that's preparing to go to school. And as that preparation occurs, what I've seen from the other scholarship recipients is, you know, they sort of get the anxiety about the dollars that they may need to further their education. And then what we've also learned is that the cost of education has gone up. It's very expensive. I will tell you that I've got an individual that I know that's at St. Joseph's University, great school. That's where they wanted to go. That's where they wanted to achieve their dream. You know, that's $60,000 a year. And so if you do the math, you know, our scholarship is just going to put a, you know, put some dollars in for these families to, you know, maybe get some books, maybe get some fees taken care of. But, you know, as the cost of education rise, what we want to do is just, we want to make an impact. And these scholarships go a long way. Even a University of Oklahoma where I live in Oklahoma, you know, you've got a nice price tag. You know, it could be anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 a year to go to school, whether it's part time or full time. And to me, you know, that makes a difference with a family that isn't making that much money that needs the support. And then they find different other funding opportunities to make it happen. So, you know, they're very resilient, their scholarship families. But what we're finding and seeing is that, you know what, at the end of the day, we can provide not only scholarships, but additional education to let them know what they need to be prepared for as they enter school and make a difference. And then finally, I'm just going to say this because I think it's important. We also have a children's program that we fund young children to go to private school. That program is for a certain population, those that have been killed or those that have been wounded severely on the line of duty or on the battlefield. And for us, we see a lot of people taking advantage of that so that they can get to that college educational time in their lives and certainly make those scholarship dollars profitable for them and more importantly, put them to use. So I think that's important. We just want to thank the American people for supporting those young children and those that are going to school right now.
For folks who maybe are not necessarily on the participatory end, I mean, they can certainly go to holdsminor.org and find where they could participate at a golf course, but maybe for someone who is looking to spearhead raising money through Patriot Golf Day, is it too late for them to come up with something that they can do, and how can they kind of engage with Bowls of Honor in less than a week, basically, to do this?
Yeah, they can go to patriotgolfday.org, kind of learn some new practices, learn what others create, what they call a fundraising page. Go to bowlsofhonor.org. You can do that as well. The fundraising page takes you to where you can actually, you know, ask your friends to basically donate to you, and you can play a round of golf, and that's been kind of popular too, where somebody plays a round of golf, and for that round of golf, you know what, someone contributes $100 or $50 or $25, and the thing about that is that it grows if you have 15, 20 sponsors to do that, and we've got a guy that does that every year down in Houston, Texas. Feel bad for those folks there, and they're in our prayers. But certainly my good friend there does that, and he gets a lot of money for us for that. And he calls it the birdies program, where he birdies holes and people contribute, and he becomes a difference maker for these military families. And the coolest thing about him, his name's Cameron, is that, you know what, he's been doing this since the age of 17. So everybody can get to be a part of what we're doing, start as early as possible, you know, set up a lemonade stand, whatever you want to do for the Folds of Honor Foundation. You're making a difference, you're making an impact, and you're making sure that you are taking care of these military families through education.
Major, we can't thank you enough for coming on, telling us a little bit more about Patriot Golf Day, how to get involved, and giving folks a better idea of what Folds of Honor Foundation does for so many families of military servicemen and women. So we appreciate it, and hopefully this is the best one yet.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for the time. And as I always say, God bless the United States of America. God bless your show. Freedom isn't free, and I'm honored and grateful that I get to be a part of an epic mission of honoring the sacrifice and educating the legacy. Hoorah!
Thanks to Major Ed Polito again for being on the show. Just really good ambassador for the sport and obviously for Folds of Honor Foundation. But as I mentioned before, Major Ed and I started recording the interview. I've seen him in so many places, so many events over the years. And he's just smiling and shaking hands and putting his arm around people and people putting their arms around him. He's a good dude, and he's a great spokesperson for what Folds of Honor Foundation has been able to do over the years, and it's a great cause. So check out Patriot Golf Day. Check out Folds of Honor, their website, when you get a chance, and see if you still have some time to participate in a Patriot Golf Day outing. And if you don't, maybe consider a small donation to them, something you're comfortable with. I know we have a lot of things we can consider with our charitable dollars, but that's certainly a worthy cause, as is what's happening with helping folks who are victims of the devastation down in Texas and Louisiana with Hurricane Harvey get back on their feet again. I just have to remark what J.J. Watt is doing in raising, I think, the better part of $15 million, if not more at this point, by the time you listen to this, is remarkable and incredible, shows great leadership, and it's pretty cool to see some of the guys on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. Stacey Lewis, who lives in Houston with her husband, who is the University of Houston women's golf coach. Jared Chadwell, I mean, she's donating her entire purse. Whatever she wins this week in Portland, that's going to relief. Patrick Reed is doing $4,000 a birdie, $8,000 an eagle. Justin Thomas and John Rahm are doing, I think it's 1 and 2 for the rest of the playoffs. So for 3 more events, that's fantastic. Sergio Garcia, I believe, is doing 2 and 5 birdie eagle this week just for the Harvey relief. His wife, Angela Akins, used to work at Golf Channel. She was a collegiate athlete, grew up in Texas. So that's where they've made their home over the years and now together as a married couple. So kind of feels like this is his adopted state, and it is. So it's pretty cool to see some folks rally around that. And I should also mention what several players are doing on the Symetra Tour, which is the LPGA's developmental tour. Shannon Fish, who's from the Houston area, wanted to find a way to raise money even while they're not playing for the highest purses in the world. They don't make a lot of money every week on the Symetra Tour, and they don't nearly have as many of events. And so Shannon Fish wanted to find a way to raise money. The sponsor of this week's event in South Dakota agreed to put up $50,000 as a donation, and then they would have a challenge for fans who wanted to back a specific player, pay a certain amount per par, birdie, eagle, whatever, and they would match that. And the LPGA is helping with that as well, or Symetra Tour is helping with that as well. And then Shannon Fish is donating, I think it's, what, 100 and 400 or something like that per birdie and eagle. Emma Talley, who's a relatively new professional, is also donating that same amount as well. So a lot of people are supporting through their play, finding money, raising money, committing money to the folks who have had their lives uprooted by what's happening with Harvey. So pretty cool to see that happening, unfortunately, in a horrible circumstance. Wish we could do it more often under happier circumstances, just raising money because we want to instead of raising money because something terrible has happened. But maybe we can make that more of a regular thing, not only in professional golf, but our personal lives too. Anyway, that's going to do it for us on this edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. Again, check out our website, golfnewsnet.com. We'll have stories on the Loop, our time in Michigan, Sand Valley coming in the next few days, and hopefully you'll enjoy those. Give us some feedback on them, too. We would love to hear from you, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com or at Ryan Ballengee, Ballengee, on Twitter. Next time we come to you, we will probably be telling you about the President's Cup teams, getting ready for those matches, which seem on paper to be fitting for an annihilation for the United States. Also, we could be joined by Bubba Watson in our next podcast, and we should have Maurice Allen, who's one of the best long drivers on the planet, total superstar of the sport, as that sport gets ready for their world championships basically next week out in Oklahoma at the Windstar World Casino and Resort. So until then, I'm Ryan Ballengee saying thanks so much for listening. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes if you can, and follow us where you can. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.